Hi, football fans. This is Chris Schlegel at the Los Angeles Coliseum, where today the Los Angeles Rams meet the New York Jets in what promises to be a rock'em sock'em football war between two gridiron giants. Along with me is my right-hand man at the microphone, former NCAA Coach of the Year, advisor to the President's Council on Skin Defects, from the University of Oklahoma, Swordblades Wilkerman. And Bud, what can we expect to see out there today?
Well, Chris, we can expect tremendous hitting and tremendous tackling. In fact, both the hitting and tackling should prove to be tremendous.
Well, Bud, when teams like the Rams and Jets get together, you know you're going to have some kind of a tussle.
They're both fine football teams, Chris, blessed with tremendous coaching and tremendous personnel. And you know, any time the coaching and personnel are tremendous, the teams will be in tremendous physical condition.
Right you are, Bud. And what do you think will be Coach Tommy Lothrow's game plan?
Well, Chris, I've known Coach Lothrow for many years, and he's certainly a tribute to the game. He's a tremendous believer in tough defensive football, so I look for a drop punt by Alvin Heyman to be the key play here today.
And what about the long-awaited duel between Namath and Gabriel?
Well, Chris, as you know, both are excellent passers who always seem to be able to hit that open man. Both can execute, read defenses, and have a tremendous knack for executing, reading defenses, and for hitting the open man. I would have to give Gabriel the slight edge here today, though, since Namath's hand is broken and he'll not see action.
Bud, thank you very much for your comments, and we'll return for the start of today's game following these important...
Well, while we have a minute, I'd like to point out that there's someone in the stands that we all know, Chris.
Oh, right, Bud, the beloved George Jessel.
No, I was referring to President Richard Nixon, Chris, way up there in the... He's in the upper deck in the end zone.
Yes, it's a tremendous tribute to football, Bud. And as we all know, President Nixon is the nation's number one football fan.
Right you are, Chris. He presented himself with a trophy to that effect just last week.
Yes, and if the president were a betting man, Bud, he'd have a tough time picking a favorite here today.
Yes, and he'll have an equally tough time seeing from those seats, Chris.
Incidentally, Bud, we'd like to wish a happy birthday to referee Norm Schachter, the head referee for today's game, who is 47 today.
Well, Chris, that's tremendous. You know, he's a great one, and he knows all the signals for the penalties by heart.
And now, the players are down on the field, collected around their coaches, being led in prayer, each in his own way with his own thoughts. A very moving, deep, and intensely personal moment.
Lord, in this deep and intensely personal moment...
Excuse me, can we get this mic in here?
We ask that you keep us from injury and harm, particularly knee injuries to our already depleted backfield. In the name of the Lord, amen.
Come on, Rams, crucify him!
Shower and come over here. I got something to say before the game.
Okay, Coach.
Why, shut up, Chico.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you guys. We ain't had a serious talk since the beginning of the season, but I think it... All right, look, I think it's time we had one now.
All right, Coach, you tell us.
Well, shut up. I got something to say. Okay, now, some of this may sound stupid to some of you guys, but I want you to hear me out. Now, look, you know, different people think about life in different ways. Lawyers think life is a big courtroom. Doctors probably think life is like a big operation. Bus drivers think life is a big bus, I guess. Who knows what the hell those guys think.
You're right, Coach. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, I always thought of life as a big football game.
So what's the point, Coach?
Yeah.
The point is this, Schnabel. There are winners and losers in the game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
God damn it, I asked you to listen, and by God, you're going to listen to what I got to say. Now, that's right. Winners and losers. But there's some guys who don't even get to finish the game. Maybe the coach takes them out, or maybe they injured. They don't even stay in the game long enough to feel like they won or lost.
Now, come on, what you talking about, Coach?
I'm talking about this, Stretch. There's a big coach somewhere in the universe, and he's about to cut the team.
Huh? What? What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I mean, Stefanski.
you got leukoplakia.
What's that?
It's a rare form of lung cancer. The doc says you might not last this season.
Oh, breaks. Sorry, really.
Really.
I suppose that one of us ought to say something, Coach, and ask defensive captain.
Wait, that's not all. Luciano has Huntington's chorea.
What?
They're taking you to the hospital at halftime, Lucky.
No.
Hey, I'm sorry. Coach, listen, I'd like to...
Hold it, there's more.
More?
Schaefer and Collins, you two have sickle cell anemia, highly advanced.
What?
I don't want to die.
I want to play pro ball.
Townsend, Carlson, and McNulty, spinal meningitis. Harrison, Hawkins, and Sanchez, nephrosis. Hooker, Perez, Cavello, Pickett, and Friedman, you got encephalitis. Murray, Belushi, Boyle, Ryan, O'Flaherty, muscular dystrophy.
Forces are in full flight. We're coming by air and on the ground. Monday night football's taking over the town. We gotta get ready. We gotta get right. It's gonna be a battle in the NFL tonight. So get ready. I mean, get ready. Are you ready for some football on Monday night in Vegas? Special alert for the nation. Here come the hits, the bangs, the blocks, and the spikes. Cause all my rowdy friends drop in on Monday night time. Let it fly, boy.
A reason said, I'll see you after football season. Woman was the reason, Lord, I hate football season. Nowadays, when I want to cuddle, well, he just brushes me off when his team starts to huddle. Only speaks my name when he needs a beer. He's sitting right next to me, but he ain't here. These aren't the boys of summer, they're the boys of fall. And there ain't no getting through when he's watching them play ball. He's so mad about the ref's last call that he don't notice I'm wearing nothing at all. He said he's leaving, needs some time alone. Says please believe him, he's got a different kind of love for them. And when I asked him for a reason, he said, I'll see you after football season. He needs some space, needs some time away, so he can watch his alma mater play. And Lord, I hate football season. So I packed my bags, was on my way out the door, when he told me his boys won't be playing no more. They lost the game on that very last play. So I held him in my arms and wept years away. Lord, I hate football season.
This is Dave Swartz speaking of sports. And on every January 1st of every New Year's time, there's only one sport to speak of, and that's football. Or should it on New Year's Day be footballs? Item, history in the making department. Let's remember some of those great Rose Bowls past. 1927. 1934. 1948. And 1958. I could go on and on, but let's flash back up to now. UCLA versus Ohio State. The game the experts said couldn't happen here. But like Hitler's Germany, the game is just hours away. Item, Inside Scoop Stuff, radio edition. Sometimes even I amaze myself. Your reporter has obtained exclusively a hotline phone number to Ohio State football coach Woody Not-So-Gabby Hayes. While he plays possum for the sports establishment, he's being a pussycat at the other end of my Dave Swartz exclusive phone. Clicker. Item, business expense. One toll call to Ohio State, Ohio, please. Purpose, to find out how the coach of the visiting team feels about his third annual visit to the Roses. Let's dial that oh-so-secret 800 number right now. And from mid-dial, a tip of the Dave Swartz thank you cap to sports insider MJ of Bakersfield, California, for the exclusive rights to Woody's secret number. That's one I owe you, Mickey. This is going to be good, and it's going to be exclusive. The Dave Swartz exclusive phone. This is Woody Hayes.
The number you have dialed. Yeah.
Hello?
7, 8, 3, 2, 8, 7.
No, don't give me that.
Has been
don't
changed to.
No.
2,
I got it. All right.
4,
this pen doesn't
3,
work.
1,
1 that works,
9,
please.
5,
people.
5.
All right, go ahead, honey. Shoot. Okay, got the pen. All right, hello? Hello? Okay, we better put Woody Hayes on hold. Put him on hold, will you?
It was back last October, I believe it was. We was going to hold a tent service all off at this college town. And we got there about dinner time on Saturday. And different ones of us thought that we ought to get us a mouthful to eat before that we set up the tent. And so we got off of the truck and followed this little bunch of people through this small little bitty patch of woods there. And we come up on a big sign. It says, get something to eat here. And I went up and got me 2 hot dogs and a big orange drink. And before that I could take every mouthful of that food, this whole raft of people come up around me and got me to where I couldn't eat nothing, up like, and I dropped my big orange drink. I did. Well, friends, they commenced to move, and they want so much that I could do but move with them. Well, we commenced to go through all kinds of doors and gates and I don't know what all. And I looked up over one of them and it says North Gate. And we kept on going through there and pretty soon we come up on a young boy. And he says, ticket, please. And I says, friend, I don't have a ticket. I don't even know where it is that I'm going. I did. Well, he says, come out as quick as you can. And I says, I'll do her. I'll turn right around the first chance I get. Well, we kept on a-moving through there, and pretty soon everybody got where it was that they was a-going, because they parted, and I could see pretty good. I could. And what I seen was this whole raft of people a-setting on these 2 banks and a-looking at one another across this pretty little green cow pasture. Well, they was. And somebody had tuck and drove white lines all over it and drove posties in it and I don't know what all. And I looked down there and I seen 5 or 6 convicts a-running up and down and a-blowing whistles. They was. And then I looked down there and I seen these pretty girls a-wearing these little bitty short dresses and a-dancing around. And so I sat down and thought I'd see what it was that was going to happen. I did. And about the time I got set down good, I looked down there and I seen 30 or 40 men come running out of one end of a great big outhouse down there. They did. And everybody where I was a-setting got up and hollered. And about that time, 30 or 40 come running out of the other end of that outhouse and the other bank full, they got up and hollered. And I asked this fellow that was besetting beside of me, I says, friend, what is it that they're hollering for? Well, he whopped me on the back and he says, buddy, have a drink. Well, I says, I believe I will have another big orange. And I got it and sat back down. And when I got down there again, I seen that them men had got in 2 little bitty bunches down there. They had rail close together, and they voted. They did. They voted and elected 1 man apiece. And them 2 men come out in the middle of that cow pasture and shook hands like they hadn't seen one another in a long time. And then a convict come over to where they was a-standing, and he took out a quarter, and they commenced to odd man right there. They did. Well, after a while, I seen what it was that there's odd man in for. It was that both bunches full of them men wanted this funny-looking little pumpkin to play with. They did, and I know, friends, that they couldn't eat it because they kicked it the whole evening and it never busted. But anyhow, what I was a-telling was, that both bunches full wanted that thing. And one bunch got it, and it made the other bunch just as mad as they could be. And friends, I seen that evening the awfulest fight that I have ever seen in my life. I did. They would run at one another and kick one another and throw one another down and stomp on one another and grind their feet in one another and I don't know what all. And just as fast as one of them would get hurt, they'd tote him off and run another on. Well, they'd done that as long as I sat there. But pretty soon, this boy that had said, "Ticket, please," he come up to me and he says, "Friends, you're going to have to leave because it is that you don't have a ticket." And I says, "Well, all right." And I got up and left. And I don't know, friends, to this day what it was that there's a doing down there, but I have studied about it. And I think that it's some kindly of a contest where they see which bunchful of them men can take that pumpkin and run from one end of that cow pasture to the oven without either getting knocked down or stepping in something.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bit Slap Bowl. I'm your host, KBC, and we got a Rock'em Sock'em game coming up for you today. That's right, the Super Bowl's coming up, and I could not let it go. I had to drag out all these football songs that I've been saving up all these years. I've suffered for my art. It's your turn now. We started with something called In the Booth, which was by a couple of guys named Tom Patchett and Jay Tarsis. I don't know who they are. They're a couple of comedians, and they have a whole album of football stuff, which I could not find to tell you more about. So it's kind of one big mystery, but you'll hear a couple of cuts from that. Pretty harmless. After that, the National Lampoon Terminal Football. Hank Williams Jr., are you ready for some football? A rhetorical question, of course. That was the theme from Monday Night Football for a long time. Like a Man, I Hate Football Season was Teresa Ryan. And Dave Schwartz, speaking of sports, was David Lander of The Credibility Gap. And Andy Griffith, his classic What It was football. So stay with me here. Now, I want to warn you right now that I kind of blew it here this week. What I did was I was looking around for, you know, a song or two about the Pittsburgh Steelers or maybe the Green Bay Packers, and I wound up avalanched by them. So what I did was I prepared two other BitSlap files, which you'll find on the FMU page. One about the Steelers, one about the Packers. About an hour long each. Go get them. I think you'll enjoy them. If you're having a Super Bowl party, have at them. So you got like 2.5 hours of football music here. That'll be about half the game, but you'll get the idea. So we're about to kick it off here. I want to invite you to drink them if you got them, smoke them if you got them, eat them if you got them, whatever you want to do. But enjoy the game, keep your hands to yourself, and I'll see you in a bit.
Next thing I want to talk about, still pertaining to sports, marriage. If there's any criterion between love and getting up in the morning and looking at your mate sometime and just saying, "You parasite." I mean, just some mornings you get up, you know, and you just look at your mate and you say, you know, she's sleeping. "You parasite." And some mornings when your mate will get up and you know there's something wrong with you. And they don't say anything, they just... And that's when I say nothing to my wife, man. I say nothing. I just get up, try to find my clothes from where she hid them. Wives always hide your clothes, man. You get up, they're always moving things, man. I leave them in a nice pile, all bundled up, man, so I can get up, get dressed like the fireman, you know? to always hanging something up, you know, so your money will fall out and all that stuff. So I'm not asking her for nothing, you know. I'm just putting the clothes on, putting the wrong socks on. I don't care, man. I'm going to see the Rams play, see. I'm going to go to see the game. And so on the way out, then she just gives me that zinger, you know.
Take your daughter with you.
Now, Erin is only 2 years old. She doesn't even know she's alive yet. Now I gotta take her to the football game, but I'm not arguing. Little Erin just standing there looking just as cute. And I take my 2-year-old to the football game. I'm walking with my 2-year-old to the game. If you don't know anything about 2-year-olds, I tell you right now, no matter how slowly you walk with them, they always look like this. So I walk her to the game. Now, I know that a 2-year-old is busy because I had one before. Erica used to be 2, but now it's Erin that I have with me. So I know you got to keep them busy. So I bought her like $900 worth of hot dogs. You know, oh, she dug it, man. She just, and her little stomach. You know, if her hands are not busy, she's going to set the cat next to her on fire. I know that. And so in order to avoid a lawsuit, I just keep that working. Now, it's a very boring game. The Rams are just, you know, they're fumbling, they're bonding, they're kicking, the boom, and the ball's not moving. They're tearing up the middle of the field. And nobody's excited about anything, you know. People, California crowds, they go to get pizza and hot dogs a lot. You know, nothing going on, let's get some pizza. Let's get some hot dogs. Nothing going on. Our team's losing. Let's get some coffee. You know, our team's losing. Let's get a drink. Let's do this, you know. They move around, man, like it's some kind of party or something, you know. Let's go over here. You ever go out and see the Dodgers play? They never even know what the hell happened, man. Let's get a pizza pie. Here we go. Get over here. What happened while we're going? Nothing. Oh, okay. Let's get another pizza. Okay, here we go. Let's get out of there. Is the game over yet? Yes. Did we lose? Good. Let's go. Go home. Get some pizza. Get a hot dog. Get out of here. Second quarter. 30 seconds left to play. Second quarter. The Rams start to move. And then bam, and the guy, boom. Now, fourth and one. Fourth and goal to go on the 1-yard line. 15 seconds. Counting off the clock. I'm excited. The cat next to me is excited. Everybody's excited. They're just excited all over the place. It's very exciting. The Rams down, it's 1 second to go, and they break out of the huddle, man. You know they're going to have time, man. Gabriel gets underneath the thing. He's barking off the signals up there, and it was go, go. And my 2-year-old says, I want a TT. I said, wait a minute, Auntie. I want a TT now. The whole crowd stood up. Take that kid to TT, you bum. Now, the fact that the ball's on the 1-yard line does not bother me at all, see, because I've seen the ball on the 1-yard line before. The thing that bothered me was that in all my years of going to football games, I have never seen a father and daughter TT room. That's the thing that bothered me. You see, because men are different. They really are. Men are different, man. Their whole thinking is different. They're funny people. Women will accept a young man any place. I'm telling you, as long as you're with your mother, you can be 40 years old. If you're with your mother, walk right in the ladies' room. Hello, this is my son. My, he's very cute. He's lovely. He's wonderful. You know? But you come in the men's room with a 1-month-old daughter. He goes, oh, Jesus, there's a lady in here. God, oh, Jesus. Why did you bring her in here, for Christ's sake? So in order to keep men from being upset, you know, I put the coat over her face. And I'm walking into the men's room with my 2-year-old, you know, underneath. Shut up. Yeah. And I put her in the stall, you know, and I close the door, you know. Guy comes up, can I get it? No, my daughter's in teaching. She comes out carrying all of her clothes.
big thing that happens at Mount Ida Games. When the moon is shining bright, that's the time that we will fight. Fight for Subnormal You. When our fullback has the ball, you will hear our fighting call. Fight for Subnormal You. When he races to the goal line, then you will think we've won the game. Though we think he is a dream, he scores for the other team, not for Subnormal You. Forget them wonderful football games we used to have back in Mount Ida, especially our big Thanksgiving Day game at the Porcelain Bowl. It was built by Carl Porcelain. On that day, the Mount Ida Rams would play their bitter rivals, the Lone Park Beavers. Yeah! Oh, thousands of people had jammed the stands on that day. Yep, the Rams versus the Beavers. I guess so many folks come to watch because we use real live rams and beavers. Brr. Get away now. I'll never forget our cheering section when our Rams was down near the Beavers' goal line, especially when we could get the Rams from stop eating the grass. Our cheer went something like this.
Rickety, rackety, rickety whale, grab that beaver by the tail, hit the goalpost with a wham, chew him down and build a dam. Fight, fight, fight!
Yay! Oh, yeah. Everybody would take out insurance just before the game because our referee, Ludlow Bean, was so nearsighted when he'd shoot the gun at the end of each quarter. Well, we'd always lose a prominent Mount Ida citizen. Ludlow also worked for the local mortician. Then after the game, we'd build a great big bonfire and have barbecued ram and beaver patties. Yeah! Oh, then to finish off the day, we'd all go for a moonlight walk down the old Ox Road. Sometimes it was hard to walk because there was so many of them on the road. And we cut it out. Get away. Cut it out. Yeah, them was the happy days. When the pumpkin's on the vine and she says she will be mine, fight for Subnormal You. When we're sitting in the stands clutching at each other's hands, fight for Subnormal You. Then I see the hand I'm holding, it's not her little hand at all. Some guy sitting on the right wants to try and start a fight, not for Subnormal You.
Is this football 202?
Yes, it is. Hello there. Come right in.
You must be Dr. Hardy.
Oh, no. Coach Harden's my name.
Very pleased to meet you, sir.
Very nice to meet you. What's your name?
Pim, sir.
Pim?
Alejandro Pim.
Mm-hmm. And you want to play football, Pim?
Oh, yes, sir. I'm here to learn.
Well, I'm here to teach you. And what are you studying here at the university?
Music, sir.
Music? Well, looking you over, maybe I can make a fullback out of you. Well, we'll see about that. Have you played much football?
Not in this life, sir, no.
Football 202?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Dr. Harden.
No, Coach Harden, I'm afraid.
How do you do, sir? My name is Throckmorton.
Throckmorton, how do you do?
Morton Throckmorton, yes, sir. I'm in theology.
Theology?
Yes, sir.
Well, and you want to play football?
Indeed, I trust I may, sir, yes.
Well, I think you can, Throckmorton. Yes, indeed. You look to me to be about, I'd say about 195.
Would you really, sir? Mm-hmm.
You weigh about 195?
Oh, I thought you meant my IQ. No,
well, I'll make you quarterback then. Oh, oh hello there. Getting bigger and bigger here. Yes,
have you ever gotten a Morgenstern?
No, not here. You might try down the hall, but boy, I'd hate to lose you, I must say. Wow.
No, I am Morgenstern.
Oh, you're Morgenstern. Yes. I'm sorry about that. It's rather confusing, you know. Very glad to meet you.
Very glad to meet you, Doctor.
Coach.
Dr. Coach.
How do you do?
Morgenstern.
My name is Tim.
Sit down, gentlemen. Sit down and relax here.
Thank you. May I ask, Morgenstern, what field are you in?
History of arithmetic.
Oh, yes, of course.
Well, I trust you gentlemen are here to play football, is that it?
Indeed, we trust we are, sir, yes.
Well, let's get started here. I'd like to go over, first of all, some of the basics with you. As you probably know, football is played on a football field roughly 30 by 100 yards long.
Roughly, sir.
Roughly 30
miles. Oh, I see what you mean, Morgenstern. My diagram's a little off there. No, on the field, you'll find it's 100 yards long.
Exactly.
Yes.
I can accept that.
Good, I'm glad to hear that. You're going to have to, all right? Now, also, gentlemen, I put some yard lines on the board. I'd like to point out something about
it. Excuse me, sir. Yes? Do those yard lines bear any reference to the treble and bass clef?
Not in this life, no. No, that, of course, wouldn't be a musical staff. That's a football field. Of course, you wouldn't play here on the blackboard. You play out of doors.
Oh, sir.
All right, here we go. Let's take a hypothetical case, gentlemen. Let's say we have the ball on the 47-yard line.
Oh, sir.
Yeah.
Hate to interrupt.
It's all right.
But there are things you keep calling lines.
Yard lines? Yes.
Yes. If those were really lines, they'd be infinite. Hmm? They'd go all the way out to the end of the universe and make the game very long and tedious.
Well, what do you call them, then?
Those are line segments.
I can accept that, Morgenstern. We have the ball, gentlemen, on the 47-yard line segment here. And, you notice I'm putting some circles on the board here.
Yes, sir, I did notice those. Those are not really circles. Those are ellipsoids, but let it pass.
Oh, Dr. Harden, sir. Would I be correct in assuming that these ellipsoids you've drawn represent a group acting in concert for the common good?
Why not?
Sure.
We're going down the field for a touchdown, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, the ellipsoids have the ball. And they're playing the crosses up above here, you'll notice.
Ah, crosses, sir.
So we'll make them X's, all right? The ellipsoids are playing the X's here.
Oh, I see, sir. And in this particular equation, what do the X's represent?
Well, that's your opponent, the defense. We're using a 6-2-2 here, you know.
No, I imagine that each X has the same power, though.
No, the tackles are heavier. I'll put little curlicues on them, all right? Yeah. The guards are lighter. Put little dots over there. And the ends are smaller.
Sir, look what you've just notated there.
What have I notated?
That's Bacchianus Brasiliaris, number 5, right? The elbows.
Oh, no, that's my place. No, stop that. No, sit down. No. Ridiculous. No, you can't sing those guards like that.
Those are whole notes.
Those are not whole. No, they are whole notes at that. I never noticed that. I've got a whole backfield full of whole notes there. It's ridiculous, isn't it? No, actually, coincidence, really. What that is a naked reverse. You'll notice the ball. Morgenstern, you seem to be grasping this. Tell Pim there what a naked reverse is.
A naked reverse?
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that would be turning around, bare ass.
Yes. Do you think that's seemingly for the class?
No, I must admit, though, that certainly an interesting conception. I never really thought about that. No, you wear a uniform.
All right, here we go.
All right, gentlemen, a little football here. Here's a little ball. We'll have a little practice, all right?
Oh, that's not actually round, is it, sir?
No, it's a demi polytetrahedron.
Oh, no, it's not. That's a Spalding. They put that out.
It's a very good ball.
I believe that it's made out of some sort of animal skin.
Very interesting point, Pim. As a matter of fact, gentlemen, the football has had a fascinating history. It used to be made from the skin of a pig, the old pig skin, we call it. Now it's made from the skin of a calf.
Aha, well, that's understandable, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm sure that Mr. Throckmorton here could tell us why.
Of course I can, yes.
All right, Throckmorton, tell us why.
Why, the Moslems wouldn't be able to touch it, sir.
And, of course, the Jews wouldn't be able to eat it, but that's...
Oh, no! Gentlemen, you don't have to worry about that. We're not playing any of those schools, huh?
Oh? Is there some sort of prejudice here?
No prejudice. We just have a very tight schedule. Let's start playing football here. Pim, you're out there. All right, Throckmorton, center here.
Why are you trying to bend me, sir?
I don't follow this.
Well, you have to bend over to the ball. Oh, remember that?
No, well, if I must, of course.
Yes, you must, all right? Oh, we're going to use a balance line here, gentlemen. We'll have two guards, of course. Left guard, right tackle, left end, and right end. You got all that?
A lot of company here.
Company?
Yes.
Sir?
Yes.
Where are the beginnings for those ends?
Right here. Throckmorton's our beginning.
Yeah. Sir, I have a sciatic condition.
Right here.
Throckmorton, he is in the center or middle.
That's right. He's our center.
And you can't very well begin in the middle.
Oh, we do.
No, right. You have to have a beginning to go through the middle to get to the end.
Who says so?
Aristotle.
And who did he play for?
Oh, Alexander the Great, Philip of Macedon, that whole crowd.
St. Thomas Aquinas said the same thing, sir.
Oh, yeah. Notre Dame boy. All right, fine. We'll make Mr. Morgenstern left beginning, then, all right?
Oh, yes, Throckmorton, sir.
Overlook something there.
Indeed.
Remember, you're out on that field, and you've got to center that ball.
Yes, sir.
Now, remember, across that line segment from you are 7 big, heavy opponents.
Oh, big fat men.
Yeah. Big, vicious men. They want that ball, too, and they're coming across that line segment. They're going to smear you, all right?
Well, surely we can discuss it, sir.
I'll be happy to give them the ball.
No, don't give them the ball. The idea is to keep the ball. Rules of the game.
Oh, rules of the game, of course. Game. Yes,
right. Like chess.
Oh. No, it's not like chess, Morgan.
Like Monopoly.
Now, Pam, you're in here. All right, you're out there, Morgenstern. Now, what you're going to do is, you're down, Throckmorton. Let's start the play. You're going to shift in here like this. You got that?
Yes, sir.
You get the ball like this. Come right up here and through Throckmorton. And get the ball to Morgenstern. And then you take the ball, Morgenstern, and go around your own end. All right, here we go.
Oh, sir. About going around my own end.
Yes.
Of course, geometrically, it's possible. Mm-hmm. But anatomically, you see...
All right, then go around your own beginning. I don't care.
Dr. Harden, sir, there's nothing I'd rather do than center this ball for you.
Go ahead and do it.
I'm afraid I may not be able to, sir. You see, every time I bend over, the blood rushes to my head.
Oh,
and I have a sinus infection, sir. All eight of them are draining.
Oh, really? Well, try not to drain on the ball, will you, Throckmorton? Yes, sir. All right, here we go. Ready, Pim? Singles! Shift! Well, we'll work on that, all right? For now, just cup your hands like this. Put them together like that. Just come right up here tight. You put your hands between his legs, you get the ball like that, and you hand it off to Morgenstern. You got all that? All right, here we go. Ready? Singles! One, two, three, hike!
What's happening?
Don't stop. You got to go right up in there and get that ball. Right off the hike. All right, here we go. One, two, three, hike! No, don't go like that. Come right up directly and get the ball. Right up.
Well, get the ball!
Oh, no!
Stop that!
You can't go around front like that. That tackle will come through there and smear you.
Dr. Harden, I think he's trying to eliminate my function.
That's right. He's got a job to do here.
Your function was to be smeared by those vicious men.
Stop that. No. Just come over here. There's no function involved. Just do your job. Now, come right up here. Get the ball. Right off his hip there and right into the mortgage job. Let's go, Tim. You can do it. Wait a minute. Drive hard. Right up in there. Singles. One, two, three. Oh, come on. Now, open your eyes. Open your eyes. You can't see the ball if you don't open your eyes.
Hurry, man. I'm draining.
Hurry up. He's draining. No. Turn around. Look at him. Just right up in here. Right up here.
Oh, I can't do it. I cannot
do
it.
You can't do it. Of course you can do it. Why not?
I hardly know him.
Harvard, fight, 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 demonstrate to them our skill. Albeit they possess the might, nonetheless we have the will. Now we shall celebrate our victory. We shall invite the whole team up for tea. How jolly, hurl that spheroid down the field and fight, fight, fight. Harvard, fight, 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 impress them with our prowess, do. Oh, fellas, do not let the crimson down, be of stout heart and true. Come on, chaps, fight for Harvard's glorious name. Won't it be peachy if we win the game? Oh, goody, let's try not to injure them, but fight, 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 let's not be rough, though. Fight, 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 and do fight fiercely. Fight, fight, fight.
Well, the gambling bug bit a lot of men, but what it's done to me is a rotten sin. I bet myself clean out of house and home. 'Cause there ain't nothing this side of hell like trying to pick a winner in the NFL, especially when your luck is going wrong. I was on the job and working hard when a man come along with this football card and said, "Try your luck, boy. All your friends have won." So I played the thing for a week or two and got a little behind like most folks do and started doubling up. And that's when they popped me some. Well, I lost my furniture on a Denver bet, and Oakland got my new Corvette, and the Rams are the reason I cashed them five hot checks. The Cardinals took my savings account, and the Redskins got a similar amount that I borrowed from a finance company on a 90-day note. Then Dallas put me in a hell of a fix. I gave up seven, they won by six. You'd think that Staubach personally hated me. The Green Bay Packers were doing fine till they had to go into overtime. And when you got plus one, you're dead when they win by three. And then along come the Baltimore Colts for another stack of the cool C notes. Seems I can't win no matter what I try. Burt Jones might be their franchise, but the way he's bloodshot these old eyes is enough to make a grown man sit and cry. Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers left no choice but for my poor wife to file for divorce on the simple grounds of football cruelty. Then I heard somewhere that the Bears were hot, so with them I took another shot, and you guessed it, pal, the Falcons beat them 40-3. in Seattle in the cool gym zone. Made me wish I'd never been born. I even let Tampa Bay take a shot at me. But I've got the Bengals and Chargers to thank for the losses that drove me to rob that bank. Even a cop that arrested me looked like a referee. Now here I sit with a stupid grin, and the jury's just now coming back in, and the foreman and the judge are looking at me real hard. And I know in my heart what they're gonna say. They gotta put me away where I can't play that American dream of trying to beat that football card. Bum Phillips has made a bum out of me. Miami Dolphins ought to put me in that tank. They flipped my wallet enough. And Detroit Lions, oh, they roared through me like Gunther Gable Williams. Like to get my hands on Fran Tarkington, scramble his brains. Archie Manning and the Saints, ooh, Jets. Mercy. Football. I can't win. I think I'll give it one more shot during the playoffs. Maybe I could win the Super Bowl. Hell, I'm desperate. Football. I hate it. No, I love it. Mercy.
Late September, 2 years ago, Frank Cash was down on his luck. He'd made a killing at Churchill Downs, but dropped it all at Aqueduct. And that left him somewhat thunderstruck. So he rented a place down on Lonely Street. He was looking for somewhere to hide. The papers showed up at the door every day, and he'd go through the classifieds. Then one morning he turned to the sports page, and he noticed that something was strange. The race results were from the day before, but the football scores were for next week's games. Frank felt scared and a little deranged, but a switchboard lit up in his brain. That Sunday he watched in amazement as the scores flashed by on his TV set. Monday morning he ran for the paper. He made it to the phone and began placing bets. He put 10,000 that night on the Jets. 10 grand he didn't have on the Jets. It happened like that the whole season. He couldn't even count all the money he made. He started buying Italian women and shoes, which he kept in a sprawling estate on the lake. And by that I don't mean by the lake, I mean on the lake. He waited all summer for football to start. The maid brought him the paper each day, but all he could find was yesterday's scores. The damn paper had ceased to prognosticate. Then a look of horror crossed his face. It had finally dawned on him, but too late. His rolls hit the pavement at 120, headed for Lonely Street. He rang the bell and a John Walker answered. Frank pressed his luck against the door screen. Frank asked if he still got the paper. John Walker said, "What do you care?" Frank answered, "I need to see the sports section just for a minute." And John Walker stared. Frank tried to push through the doorway. John pulled the real 45. The dogs were all barking as the rolls pulled away. John Walker was no longer alive.
The judge looks down through his bifocals. The peers of the jury squirm in their seats. The courtroom is silent except for his footsteps. Frank Cash is about to speak. Frank says, "Your Honor, and ladies and gentlemen of the jury, all this has been happening to me because of this guy named T-Bone Burnett. He's been making all this up. And I just want to say, I don't believe in him. In fact, I don't even think he exists. And not only that, but this song is over." Sentence. The jury ruled it was self-defense. They ignored his statement on the grounds it didn't make any sense. Frank Cash had had a pretty good year, considering the dizzying chain of events. The paper was never delivered again, but I gave him back all the money he spent. And he married a woman with a lot of soul, and his first son will become president. If you see him, tell him I said hello, and that I'm happy to be able to call him my friend.
For it. Here it comes. Here it comes. Come on. Oh, yes. Oh, I hope that was good for you. I'd like to point out that today our background music comes to us courtesy of NFL Films. I did not ask the permission, but I do have this comment for them. Please don't sue me, NFL Films. I'm just a guy. I'll treat you with respect. Most of these songs in NFL Films, and I know you know who they are, whether you're a football fan or not, you've seen it. Most of the music is written by a guy named Sam Spence, who, rumor has it, wrote some 700 pieces for NFL Films to use in stirring action sequences, like this one, for example. Music for playlists. I think it's perfect. The football game. Bill Cosby. Bill takes his daughter to a football game, and of course, hilarity ensues. Charlie Weaver, Cliff Arquette, Fight for Subnormal You. Football comes to the University of Chicago, was of course the second city. Subtitle of that is Football 101. Tom Lehrer, Fight Fiercely Harvard. Glenn Sutton and the football card. You remember football cards, don't you? Okay, and in a related development, the strange case of Frank Cash and the morning paper from T-Bone Burnett. A drunkard's dream, if ever I've seen one. You remember football cards? I haven't seen one lately, but I will tell you this. For some reason, the Packers are favored by 2.5. I think that's wrong. I think the wrong team is favored, to be honest with you. The over-under is 44. I think that's about right. But I'm not sure why the Steelers aren't favored. Now, Packers and the Steelers, two of the greatest franchises in NFL history. Between them, I think they've been in like 12 Super Bowls. That's like one out of every four Super Bowls has these guys in it. Green Bay won the first two Super Bowls ever played back in the 60s. The Pirates had that great... The Steelers had that great run back in the 70s. Of course, they won like four out of five Super Bowls. And the Steelers were there a couple of years ago, 2 years ago against the Cardinals. Remember them? No, because who does? Anyway, I think it's got the makings of a real good game. So let's get back to it, shall we? Kickoff, halftime.
Hello again, everybody. We're here at halftime of this exciting football game with the Los Angeles Rams leading the New York Jets 13-10. But it's certainly been a great game so far, hasn't it?
Tremendous hitting, Chris.
Yes, and I'm sure the halftime show will be equally tremendous.
Tremendous hitting, Chris. Tremendous halftime. It's tremendous just to be alive in this tremendous country in the tremendous 1970s. And I have tremendous gas pains.
Well, sit back and relax, Bud, as our halftime show gets underway. And taking the field, ladies and gentlemen, is the 6,000-piece accordion band from the Our Lady of the Redeeming Albino College. Well, they're all decked out in blackface, and they look terrific. Bud, why don't you describe the uniforms the band is wearing?
Green.
Green, yes, but how about those hats?
White.
White, but green uniforms and white hats. And what harmony, right, Bud?
Tremendous hitting, Chris.
But what about the harmony, Bud?
Excellent harmony. Any youngsters who want to know the proper way to hit those accordions should keep their eyes on those courageous youngsters.
Right, Bud. And I'm glad you mentioned courage, because down there on the field is the albino band's fine young soloist, young Chip Skipperbuzzy. Unfortunately, young Chip Skipperbuzzy lost both arms while hunting.
Yes. He's a tremendously courageous young man.
And now Chip Skipperbuzzy leaves the field to a fine hand from the stand.
Well, he could use two fine hands, Chris. It's certainly miraculous how he's able to play Lady of Spain with just his shoulders.
Yes, a shoulder solo. And now the albino band moves into its halftime formation sequence. Incidentally, fans, the halftime show is entitled Parts of the Body in honor of National Personal Hygiene Week.
That's right, Chris. And remember, fans, if you take care of your body, you can use it over and over again. And if you do use your body, use Sugar Daddy Cosmetics for 24-hour protection.
Bud, I believe the first formation is taking shape now, Bud, and this formation is that of a leg.
No, I believe that's an arm, Chris.
No, Bud, it's a leg. I'm sure they wouldn't form an arm out of deference to young Chip Skipperbuzzy.
Well, I don't see what deference it makes, Chris, but now that you do mention it, I see that some of the band members are dressed up as leg hairs. Very, very attractive.
Yes, it reminds me of a European girl I used to date.
Oh. Well, I don't know about that, Chris, but this is one of the most disgusting halftime formations I've ever seen. However, I'm forced to admit that it is courageous and, of course, bone-crunching.
Right, and now, fans, out onto the field comes our Eastern States Junior College twirling champion, Chiquita Heinz of Upper Middlebury, D.C.
Yes, Chris, and if any young people want to know the proper way to twirl a baton, they should keep their eyes on that fat youngster.
What? Oops. She dropped her baton, Bud.
Yes, she did. And nevertheless, it was a courageous and bone-crunching drop.
She dropped it again, Bud.
Yeah.
Hey, she's making an ass out of herself. She's no good. Get out of the business!
Well, the most unfortunate fact of the matter here, Chris, is that this heavily dyed youngster is embarrassing herself in front of not only a nationwide TV audience, but President Richard M. Nixon, who doesn't tolerate too many mistakes from young people, no matter how courageous they are.
Right, Bud. All right, the albino band has moved into its final formation of the halftime now. And, Bud, if I'm not mistaken, and I have to report this, this formation appears to be that of a giant uterus.
Yeah. It's a big one, all right, Chris. Size of a football field.
Yes, and if you look closely, Bud, you can see that marching out of the uterus is a Dixieland combo.
Oh. Right you are, Chris, and they're playing our halftime finale, The Birth of the Blues.
Well, Bud, you'd have to say that this is certainly one of the most unusual halftime shows we've ever seen.
Yes, nonetheless performed by a group of courageous but obviously communist-inspired young people.
Well, thank you for your comments, Bud, and fans, we'll return for the start of the second half in just one moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, we direct your attention to the South End Zone, where the Los Angeles Rams Golden 100-card section, under the direction of Norton Salkin, depicts the history of the United States of America.
We'll be right back. They break out of the huddle. The center snaps the ball. The quarterback's fading. He throws long. He's got it. Touchdown!
It was the night before Christmas, and all through my brain danced footballs and thoughts of the upcoming game. My team colors were hung by the television set in hopes they'd make it to the Super Bowl yet. When out on the street there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. And what with my wondering eyes should be seen but Howard Cosell in a black limousine.
It's Merry Christmas
in the NFL.
Merry Christmas,
and we wish you well.
Here's a helmet, a whistle too, and cheerleader pictures autographed to you.
He warmed up, then sprinted and dodged as he came, whistling and shouting and calling by name. Now Houston, now Dallas, now Pittsburgh, now Green Bay. On Denver, on Cleveland, on Oakland and L.A. His eyes, how they twinkle, his nose like a cherry. He brought Christmas cards from Franco and Terry, and best wishes from Fran and Dandy Don, too, along with a pair of their old football shoes.
It's Merry Christmas
in the NFL.
Merry Christmas,
and we wish you well.
Here's a helmet, a whistle, too, and cheerleader pictures autographed to you.
He opened his bag full of presents for me, jerseys and knee pads and kicking tees, and record books containing all of the facts, and highlight tapes for my Betamax. He selected the tape of Super Bowl VII, and we recapped the game till well past 11. When the last play was run, he picked his bag off the floor, ran a play up the middle and right out the door. He lit a cigar, smiled, and then motioned his arm, first down and 10. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Merry Christmas to all! See you next Monday night!"
Merry Christmas
in the NFL.
Merry Christmas.
All we wish you well.
Here's a helmet, a whistle too, and cheerleader pictures autographed to you. It's Merry Christmas
in the NFL.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, there's Pete Rozelle.
Here's a helmet.
Oh, jingle bell, jingle bell. I love football. Hey, woman, how about running back to the refrigerator and hocking me a cold beer, huh? Oh, boy. You know, I get so thirsty.
Here comes co-star O.J. Simpson, Daryl LaMonica, Glenn Dawson, Harvey Schultz. Harvey Schultz? Yes, Harvey, champion at ProStar Electric Football by Coleco. Now with Coleco's exclusive offensive quarterback, he passes, complete, touchdown!
Coleco!
He kicks for the extra point, and it's good! Watch this instant replay. Action football, ProStar or collegiate, from the Coleco world of sports, where the action is.
On the ninth day of Christmas, the Smiths gave to me Barkowski throwing passes, Billy Rickman chewing, Lawrence intercepting, Wallace Francis catching, Bill Andrews moves, Edgar Fields attacking, John James a punting, Joe Williams sacking on a Lehman Bennett Super Bowl. On the 10th day of Christmas, Sal Davis gave to me Art Shell a blocking, Ray Guy a punting, Pastorini posing, Hayes intercepting, Raymond Chester catching, Kenny Kinlaw attacking, Plunkett throwing passes, Chris Barra kicking on a Tom Lauren Super Bowl team. On the 11th day of Christmas, the Rooneys gave to me John Stallworth leaping, Larry Brown a blocking, Mike Webster hiking, Terry Bradshaw singing, Blount intercepting, Lynn Swann a catching, Franco Harris's move, Joe Green a sacking, Jack Ham attacking, Matt Barra kicking on a Chuck Noll Super Bowl team. On the 12th day of Christmas, Ralph Wilson gave to me the Bills in the playoffs, Reuben get a leaping, McKinley a blockin', Wilgrant a hikin', Jeff Nixon singin', Clark interceptin', Frank Lewis catchin', Joe Chris moves, Kadish attackin', Ferguson a passin', Nick a Meyer kickin' on a tub, not Super Bowl team.
Beautiful, clear, sunshiny afternoon here on the Mekong River Delta, where elements of the 101st Airborne Division tangle with North Vietnam's crack 7th Regiment, both teams undefeated and untied so far this season. The playing field is directly in front of us here. It's a marshy rice paddy surrounded by trees with hills up in the background. Looking up over those hills, I see here come those HU-1B armed Huey helicopters of the 101st. And they're coming in low and fast, scraping that landing zone with 50 caliber machine gun fire as they windmill down for a landing. And now they are on the ground, and it looks like it's the 3rd Brigade on the 101st, led by Colonel Billy Slocum. And they're fanning out there, trying to dig in, set up that defensive perimeter. There's no sign of the Viet Cong yet. We don't know if Charlie is here or not. Hold on. Yes, he is. Charlie is here. And he's got mortars. He's dropping mortar shells in there at regular 3-second intervals. And I see 1, 2, 3, whoops, let's make that 4 helicopters down and burning. And the rest are headed for home. And here comes Viet Cong now, laying back, not too much sign there. The 101st is trying desperately to set up those 50 caliber machine guns to answer that mortar fire from the hills. And look out, here comes Charlie out of the dugout. He's making a headlong rush straight down the middle of the field, right in that 101st line. And the 101st is throwing up a massive wall of small arms fire, hand grenades, 30 caliber machine gun fire. And there go those 50s into play now. And it looks like Charlie is slowing down. He's slowing down. And Charlie is bogged down. He's stopped at the line of scrimmage, and that's where he's going to stay for now. Well, Red, what do you think of the action out there so far?
Thank you, Red. Well, I'd like to say it's apparent that we're in for a scintillating contest here this afternoon. Both these teams are really in tip-top shape for this one. In the case of the 101st, that's doing no small part to their coach, Colonel William Billy Slocum, who's really, as they say, got them up for this one. That's obvious in everything they're doing out there, the way they come busting out of those helicopters, the way they begin shooting long before they've actually seen anything. This is not to take anything away from the Viet Cong, though. They're a rugged opponent at any time. They've had a wonderful season, and no one can take that away from them. They've got a bumper crop of rookies this year. I'm sure Red will back me up on this. We'd like to invite you to stick around when we'll be talking to a couple of their Cambodian bonus babies in the post-game roundup. Back to you, Red.
Right you are. Thank you very much, Red. Back down to the action on the field now. Both sides taking advantage of this time now to drag the dead and wounded from the field. We see that Colonel Slocum is over by the field command radio of the 101st. This leads us to believe they may be taking the air on this next play. And sure enough, here they come over the hills. F-102 Phantom jets from the USS Enterprise. And they're coming in low and fast, scraping that landing zone with 50 caliber machine gun fire, 20-millimeter cannon fire, and there go those rocket pods. And now they're dropping 500-pound fragmentation anti-personnel bombs. And I see a dozen oxen down and kicking on the field. In for the second pass now. And this time it looks like napalm. Flaming black pajamas in the trees to my left and right. It smells like Charlie's hurting down there. And here comes the leader back over to the third pass, and it looks like napalm once again. Oh, my God. Right on top of the 101st.
Well, field's full of penalty flags on that one, Rick.
Bottom dollar, there's going to be an error charge against the USS Enterprise on that one, right?
We'd like to take a look at that last play on our slow-motion instant replay. Here you see...
Hold on, Red. Back down to live action on the field. Now, look at this. Look at those boys on the 101st step out now. Whoop! They're really breaking out of that defensive perimeter. They're chasing Charlie back up into the trees. They're inflicting heavy casualties as they go. I mean, this started out to be season hold, but it looks like search and destroy from here on in. And here come those battlefield hotline tally sheets with the scores for today's contest. In this game, the Viet Cong suffered 437 killed or injured, while the 101st casualties were light to moderate, once again, as usual. Fred, I think everybody sense we're into a whole new ball game with that last
no
play.
No doubt about it.
Size up what happened.
Well, I think it's obvious that the way that napalm came sneaking in there gave our boys in the 101st a little incentive, a hot foot, if you will, to gain back some badly needed lost yardage. And it seems as though Charlie got his signals crossed in that last play. And from up here, it looks as though those battle-hardened veterans from the north have been wiped out, right down to the last woman and child. You know, a little note I'd like to add is, ever since the president authorized the televising of these games live via satellite, his popularity has climbed 0.1 percentage point in every major poll in the country. Certainly makes you proud to be an American, doesn't it? Reminds me and Red of an old saying, if you can't play a sport, why not be one?
Absolutely, Red. said, and I know the president wanted to be here today to throw out the first grenade in this league. Well, friends, we'd like to remind you, be sure to tune in to Wide Wide World of War next week. We've got a very exciting match coming up. It's going to be the 87th Airborne Division, late at Fort Benning, Georgia. They're going to be stacked up against the elite Hanoi Black Jackets. It's going to be a very tough game. It's a grudge match, and it's also a secret ambush, so keep it under your hats until then.
Not only that, but next week is also Old Timers Day, when we'll be talking to veterans and survivors from both sides of Dien Bien Phu. So this is Red.
And Red.
Saying so long.
God bless you.
Since I was young, I've had one goal: to play football at the Super Bowl, to be the best they ever seen, to even run through the mean Joe Green. Like Big Jim Brown, I'd never yield till I broke on through to the open field. I'd juke and jive like Sam the Bat, go right past the line of the L.A. Rams. Talking hard, set, ready down to gain 10 yards on the end round. Wham, bam, slam, jam, to dive on through the goal line stand. See, I beat the best from coast to coast. Take Ronnie Lott straight to the post. I run right by him cause I'm way too fast, and I catch the ball with a touchdown pass. I be doing 40 when I hit the goal, then I get right down to cruise control. As I hit the end zone, the crowd will shriek when I spike the ball to the super free. Then I kick the point with my golden toe and listen to the fans give a standing O. Then a young lady would start to cheer. Now to be the best in all the game, you got to have a bad nickname. There's Hacksaw Slick, Brock and Juice, Two Tall Zone, and a dude named Twos. Now all these names might do just fine, but I go by DJ Rappenstein. They call me that name cause I'm much too clean to be a mortal human being. I be so great, they start a story that a doctor made me in a laboratory. Took strength from a lion, speed of a cat, mixed together in a great big vat. He created a man who's one of a kind, the incredible DJ Rappenstein. Now my young lady would start to scream.
We got a shot, we got the man who'll shock your mind. We'll knock your block, drain your brain, patrol your soul, T-Boy
stuff. Even my uniform, it looked real bad. I wear members only shoulder pads. Search over Lente would make my suits. My football cleats are just a boost. Even my helmet would cause a stir because it's covered all over with rabbit's fur. But before I knew it, I reached my goal. I'm a starting back in the Super Bowl. The fans would watch from coast to coast as I took Jack Tatum to the pole. He tried to bump me as I ran by route, but I shaked and based him on the down and out. Then he tried to catch me from behind, but I crossed the yard to the end zone line. Yes, I won the game for my football team, and the young lady stand up and scream.
We got a shot, we got the man who'll shut your mouth. He'll knock your block, drain your brain, control your soul, T-Boy's
set. Now that the football game was through, I'd be on the post-game interview. Howard Cosell would question me what it takes to start in the NFC. Well, Mr. Cosell, you're just a whip for the more hot air than a Goodyear blimp. But if you must know what it takes to shine, just listen to the words of Rappenstein. To be a star, it must be fit so you can sack the back on the safety blitz. You gotta be real fast with lots of range to elude the charge of a sack exchange. Like O.J. Simpson, you can never yield till you break on through.
All right, gang, let's give them that old locomotive. The team's out there fighting their heart out, and it's up to every one of us to support the team. Let's let them know we're behind them. All right, now, give it everything you've got! Yell!
W-F-M-U.
It almost embarrasses me to admit that I don't know which network this music is from. You know, all the networks have their own signature NFL music piece. I think this one's for CBS. Well, I could be wrong. I don't really care. But, you know, there's one for CBS. ESPN's got one. ABC, NBC, Fox, TNT. Who knows? So, anyway. I digress. We started that set with the halftime show from Patchett and Tarsus again. Merry Christmas in the NFL from Buckner and Garcia, same guys who gave us Pac-Man Fever. 12 Days in the NFL. I don't know what to tell you about who that was. That was an album called, I guess, 12 Days of Christmas in the NFL. I have it somewhere. But it's a 12 Days of Christmas devoted to each of the, I don't know, 12 or 14 NFL teams in the league at the time. It's super annoying. It's the same arrangement, the same instrumental track, and just different lyrics with different names. And it just really gets on your nerves by about the third one. So be nice to me, or you know what you're getting for Christmas next year. And NFL, if you decide to sue me, in your face with that. See how long you last. Okay, the gloves are off. Let's hope for the best on that one. What did I do? Jeez. All right, the committee, Wide World of War, which is, of course, what football symbolizes, war and the gaining of ground and the taking of prisoners and death and destruction around a strangely shaped ball. And then give the ball to Rappenstein from DJ Rappenstein. And that does it for me. Coming up, a couple of mystery tunes. Well, one mystery tune. The other one is the we'll have a wrap-up from Patchett and Tarsus again. And the second one's a real corker for you, a mystery tune. And I want to remind you, don't forget the special Packers pod and the special Steelers pod available to you from BitSlap Central here. And hope it's a good game. That's all I ever really ask for, is a decent game. No blowouts, please. So that's it. I'm out of here. I'll be back next week. Next week is holiday. Next week is Cap Day. See you then.
Let's go down to Action Central for the rest.
This is WFMU restoring the WXHD Mount Hope.
Back upstairs to you, Chris.
Sending it right back to you, Dak.
Well, thank you very much, Chris Schlegel. We're almost set here, so now let's go upstairs to Chris Schlegel.
Right, Dak, and now it's back to you.
Okay, Chris, so let's go right to the scoreboard. Here's a final just handed to me. Atlanta pouring it on the crippled 49ers secondary, scored twice in the last minute and 30 seconds, and they went on to win that one 7-0. All right, that's it, Chris. Let's go back up to you.
Thank you, Dak Plexner. And now here's Dak down in Action Central.
Right you are, Chris. The Green Bay Packers, playing once again minus the services of Don Hutson, had no trouble in their game as they were snowed out. Tomorrow night in a nationally televised game, the New York Giants test the injury-riddled Philadelphia Eagle defense, and the score of that one will be 16-14. Okay, Chris, it's back upstairs to you.
Right, Dak Plexner. And now with the statistics of today's game, let's go back down to Action Central and Dak Plexner.
Oh, right you are, Chris Schlegel. And once again, hi, and welcome to this hot little cubicle down here. While we're waiting for a signal to wrap it up, let's check some of the stats for today's game and wrap it up now. Okay, this is Dak.
And you may think you were such a big star. One of these days, you're gonna push me too far. Yesterday you walked around just like you own the school. All the girls were chasing you and I felt like a fool. But now you're just another guy who wants my company. Football season's over now, so you're coming back to me. Field to win the game. I was proud.